This is an iHeart podcast.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. I'm about to give you an inside baseball story about me. It'll help explain what happened with Liz Cheney. Also, AOC caught in a lie, but that's what communists do. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Communists lie. Everybody lies to some extent. Don't lie, kids, but I mean, everybody lies. But under communism, they lie. They have to lie. It has to be for everyone. It doesn't work, so everybody is forced to say that it does work. This is how communist systems are. And when I talk about the system in America now, and all the commies we have here, that's what you see. That's what you see all around you. You see it everywhere now. I'm not going to show it to you, but the other day, I just thought of it just before we came on the air. The other day, there was this video up of a woman's track meet, and there was an individual in the middle who was gigantic, clearly not a woman, had made the transition, and just exploded off the line and just slaughtered all these other women. And our society, our system now is so broken that you know exactly what that is. I know exactly what that is. You look at that and say, okay, that's unjust. I look at that and say, that's unjust. That's not fair to those hardworking girls who've been working real hard. But you're not allowed to say that in public. I mean, I do, because by the grace of God, I work for the first and I'm allowed to say whatever I want. And they've never once, with all the stuff I've said, they've never once told me, don't say that anymore. Avoid this, say this, never once. I get to say whatever I want. That's why I love this channel so much. But you know what it is. You can see the truth, but the system demands, under penalty of public shame, possibly losing your job, almost undoubtedly losing your social media account, the system demands that you lie. You have to lie. You have to celebrate their lies and act like their lies are truth, and don't you dare tell the truth. And that's what we have now. Do you remember the whole Juicy Smollett story? Honestly, I kind of enjoyed it. I still enjoy it. I think it's healthy for us to look back at it because it's freaking hilarious. Now we can learn some lessons from it, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's be honest. That whole thing was freaking hilarious. The Juicy Smollett, he was some actor I've never seen. He was on a show, Empire. I never saw it, but it was apparently a popular show, Empire. And he goes to Chicago. It's freezing in the middle of the night. It was 2 a.m. And all of a sudden makes a phone call to the police that he'd been attacked by two white guys wearing MAGA hats. And of course, they called him some racial names, according to his statement. And it was just the most unrealistic story ever. Not a single thinking person heard 2 a.m. in Democrat Chicago and guys are walking around with they put a rope on his neck and poured bleach on him, supposedly, and yelled, "This is MAGA country," which nobody talks like that. I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk like that ever. And every single person immediately, it wasn't one of those ones where everyone wanted to wait. Every person immediately heard it and thought, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't hold up. And as you see, he immediately gets a major television interview with Robin Roberts, I'm sorry. Pour out your pain, please. While the rest of the country is thinking, this is a lie. Well, apparently we got a repeat of all this. You do remember the AOC emotional video from this week about where, how she almost died at the Capitol? In case you missed it, here it is.
I mean, I thought I was going to die. As I'm hiding in this bathroom, hearing these yells of these men, or just this a man, just one man, going, "Where is she? Where is she?" I start to look through the door hinge to see if I can see anything. And there's like a door here and there's like another door here. So I'm like trying to look through two door hinges. And so I look through this door hinge and I see this white man in a black beanie open the door of my personal office and come inside the personal office and yell again, "Where is she?" I'm like, I don't know, so deeply rattled. I'm still processing the end of my life when I come out. And I come out, and this man is a Capitol Police officer. But the story doesn't end. It's a Capitol Police officer. There was no partner, was not yelling, you know, Capitol Police, et cetera, et cetera. But then it didn't feel right.
It's very touching. My heart is just breaking right now. Except none of that was true. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wasn't even at the Capitol building. You see, here's a little map of how D.C.'s laid out. She wasn't at the Capitol building. She was down at the Cannon office building. You see, it's not even right by the Capitol building. It's a little ways away. That was all performance art. That was all emotional manipulation. That was all a lie. And of course, her lies got found out, because it's more difficult for the commies to lie these days. That's why big tech is so emphatically censoring out people on the right. But she got busted. People realized what she did, and this is how she responded. Was it an apology? No, it wasn't, and pay attention. She says, quote, "This is the latest manipulative take on the right. They are manipulating the fact that most people don't know the layout of the Capitol complex. We were all on the Capitol complex. The attack just wasn't on the dome. The bombs Trump supporters planted surrounded our office too." Which is weird, because Representative Nancy Mace, GOP rep, comes out and says, AOC made clear she didn't know who was at the door. Breathless attempts by the media to fan fictitious news flames are dangerous. My office is two doors down. Insurrectionists never stormed our hallway. Egregious doesn't even begin to cover it. Is there nothing the mainstream media won't politicize? And no, there's not. And it was funny, we opened up talking about Jussie Smollett. Alexandria Ocasio-Smollett starts trending on social media. This, if you're not big on social media, you don't realize what's trending is the big topic of the day. So she's getting mocked so severely for her lies that, well, she does what communists do. This is what she did. One, scan your social media to find posts with this misleading information, especially those using the trending hashtag. Don't tweet any hashtags yourself, because we don't want to spread them further. Identify any posts that are threatening or harassing and use the built-in report features to flag them for moderators. Facebook and Twitter both have built-in tools for reporting posts and tweets that break the rules. And, well, here's the thing. It's not about AOC. I don't expect you to actually care about AOC. It's not about what happened at the Capitol. It's about this. There's going to be another one of these things. And when I see these things, what I'm talking about is something you see that feels real, right? Do you remember Christine Blasey Ford is a great example. You remember she came out, these accusations, and okay, let's let her testify before Congress. And first we heard she was afraid of flying, then we found out she was flying all over the place, but she makes her way back there. And she gets up and she gives a testimony when she's talking about what Brett Kavanaugh supposedly did to her. And don't you remember the tears? You remember the tears? And it worked on so many people. So many people I talked to that day said, man, that sounds real. I believe her. It totally sounds real. And it all turned out to be a lie. There's always another way to manipulate you. They're always going to lie. They lied about knowing what to do about coronavirus. They lied about the Antifa Black Lives Matter St. George Floyd riots. They lie about everything. They lied about Russian collusion. They lied about what happened on the phone call. AOC lied about what happened in the Capitol building. They lie seamlessly because, well, you have to lie when it doesn't work. And the system is broken. It's hopelessly corrupt, rotted out and broken, and they're going to continue to lie. I didn't say all this to blast AOC, although that's good fun too. I said all this to prepare you and myself for the next shiny object, because there's going to be a next shiny object that has you questioning yourself, has you questioning the future. I don't know what's real. This seems like it must be real. All my friends on Facebook say it's real, and the news is saying it, and all these actors are saying, everyone's saying the same thing. Even half the pundits on the right are saying the same thing. I think I better just go along with it. No. They're always lying to you. None of what you see is real. Remember it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, what else should make you uncomfortable is cybercrime. And they are so advanced these days. Do you know how long it took them to hack into my home title? Your home title's online, just like mine was. You know how long it took them, found this out? Less than 10 minutes. Home title theft is devastating for the person it happens to, but it's not difficult for them. That's what's so shocking. It's easy. It's a walk in the park for them. And your only defense against it is home title lock. They will detect any tampering and shut it down immediately. And it's so easy. Go to hometitlelock.com and sign up. While you're there, you can have 30 free days of protection if you use the promo code radio. Hometitlelock.com, promo code radio. We'll be back. I hear how mad you are. I get up this morning, my email inbox is full of viewers of the show and listeners to my radio show mad that Liz Cheney got voted back in to her position of leadership in the House Republican Conference. She's mega powerful. People find out there's a secret vote. She got voted back in. In case you're wondering, they held a secret vote. It was 145 to 61. Well, people don't know what happened. All they've seen on TV is congressmen, 8 million congressmen out there. Well, I'm not voting for her. Liz Cheney has to go. She doesn't have the pulse of the party. This has to go. We've got to stop this. I've seen nothing but outrage out there from every congressman, and then they all go behind closed doors, and they all vote for her. Well, you want to know what happened? You really want to know what happened? Let me tell you a little story about my favorite subject in the world, me. Here's what happened with me. This is a long time ago, back in 08, 09, 2010, I don't know, I went to community college. I was running in the Tea Party year for U.S. Congress. I was pretty fresh out of the Marine Corps, working construction, not a political guy really at all, more of just a history dork, and got really mad. I ran for U.S. Congress. I'm doing it. I'm running for Congress. I'm going to go do something about all this. And I just jump into the race. And I know you're going to find this shocking, but I was a bit of a firebrand. Hard, hard right wing. I know you're shocked about all this so far, but I was not bad. I was a hard worker at it. I was at every single event you could possibly be at. And for the longest time, because the race wasn't viewed as a winnable race, I was going up against Gabrielle Giffords, well-funded, well-liked. The race wasn't viewed as winnable. So for the longest time, it was only me. I'm at every pancake breakfast out there, American Legion. I'm giving every speech I can get, every Tom, Dick, and Harry trying to tell people who I am. Well, things started to change. Barack Obama passes Obamacare, really starts scaring the country, and then this wave starts to come, and people can sense it, right? There's going to be this big Tea Party wave. All of a sudden, the race goes from favoring Democrats to toss-up. Could go either way. the powers that be paid attention to such things. And John McCain, who was obviously very much alive and a U.S. senator back then, swung a big stick in Arizona. He really ran things there with the big political money and whatnot. John McCain and the powers that be in Arizona, they had their own guy. He was a state senator there. Good dude. Don't look him up and send him hate mail. He was a good dude. There's nothing wrong with him. But he was more of an establishment type. And they say, hey, you go run. Forget about this Kelly guy. No one knows him. You go run. He jumps in the race, and they chuck just a boatload of money at him. And I'm mad. And I'm a bit short-tempered back then. I've certainly taken care of that now, but I'm a bit short-tempered. And it got so bad, I stood up on stage. I'm a nothing nobody, right? And I endorsed John McCain's primary opponent against him. Obviously, this word gets back to John McCain. Hates my guts. They go all in against me, the establishment types. I crush them. I win the primary. Fast forward a few weeks later. After I got done winning the primary, I'm out of money. And you have to have money to run for office in politics. You just do. When people call you asking for money, they're not pocketing it. Well, some of them might be, but that money is going to the TV commercials and stuff like that to win elections. I didn't have any of it. Gifford's had a boatload of it, and she's just killing me on TV. You know, Jesse Kelly's the Antichrist type thing. And McCain hates my guts. Go back to D.C. I'm trying to raise money in D.C. Get word that John McCain wants to meet me. I just figure he's going to chew me out, but it never hurts. Go sit down with him. I go have a private meeting with John McCain. Just he and I. It kicks everyone else out of the room. And I realize that if you're watching me, you probably don't like John McCain. He's very unpopular in Republican circles. I get that. I don't care. I'm telling you how it is. We went and sat down, and he was crass, cussed, rude, inappropriate, and I loved the guy. And I was the same way. And he loved me too. And he just had that old Navy sailor thing, and we just got along. And after an hour, he decided, I like this kid. Let's get him some money. And so the next day, I can't emphasize this enough, the next day, not the next week, not the next month, the next day, huge checks from people I'd never met before started showing up in my campaign inbox to help fund my campaign. People making campaign donations to me. Why? Because John McCain said so. And he then turns around and on his own starts doing TV commercials on my behalf in my district. So what am I telling you? Let me ask you this. I end up losing that race by 4,000 votes. It was super close. They had to recount it for a week. It was legitimate, don't worry, but I lost the race. But let's say I won. Let's say it was 4,001 going back the other way and I won. And John McCain was up for some leadership position. Maybe he'd done something dumb or controversial, which he often did. Do you think John McCain could have picked up the phone after doing that for me and said, Jesse, need you to back me on this one? Do you think I would have told him no? Do you? I don't think I would have. I mean, if it's a big violating my principles vote, yeah, I would have told him no. You know how I am. If it's a put him back in a position of leadership vote, I don't think I would have. You want to know about Liz Cheney and why these things happen and how these things happen? Liz Cheney is a Cheney. She's political royalty. You probably view her as this rhino, Trump hater, completely out of touch. You know, all the bad things you want to say, and I'm not arguing with you. All that stuff's probably true. But you know what else Liz Cheney is? Somebody who's stored up a lot of favors. That's who Liz Cheney is. You don't get to be the head of the House Republican Conference by just, you know, giving a fancy speech somewhere, by doing this, doing that. You get to be the head of that by doing a lot of favors for the other people, for the other members, the other Republican members in the United States House of Representatives. That's how that works. A long time ago, or maybe last year, Congressman Bill in Jerkwater, wherever, is in a tough reelection campaign and the Democrats killing him on TV and he's out of money. And guess who came swooping in? Liz Cheney with her PAC money and everything else. And well, he feels like he owes her now. And that's how politics works. And I'm not defending it. I'm not. I'm not trying to defend myself for what I just told you I probably would have done. I'm certainly not defending Liz Cheney. I'm not defending a secret chicken house vote where nobody has to own up to their vote. I'm not defending any of it. I'm not. It's a gross system. It's ugly. But I'm here to tell you, that's politics, baby. That's how it works. How's that for making you uncomfortable? Now, here's the good news. You can get good people into office. They do exist. People like you, they exist out there, and they want to run for office. And I don't expect you to track all of them down and figure out who to back. That's too much. But Mammoth Nation will do that for you. You go become a member of Mammoth Nation, they'll do that for you. They'll track down these people for you, which is all good, right? If that was all they did, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? You gotta save this place. But there's actually more. When you become a member of Mammoth Nation, you get discounts all over the place. Shopping, hotels, telehealth. The laundry list of things is way too long. But you save money while funding the right people running for office. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Well, I'm not sure there's a more detestable human being in all of politics than Adam Schiff, and I realize that is actually saying something. For some reason, he doesn't get the publicity for being a world-class scumbag like he is, and if you want to know just how bad Adam Schiff is, Black Lives Matter doesn't even like him. Quote, BLM leaders slam Adam Schiff, urge Newsom not to appoint him as California Attorney General. The not-so-secret out there is Schiff is lobbying heavily to be California's next Attorney General. Joining me now to talk about that is Jennifer Kearns, host of All American Radio with Jennifer Kearns. Jennifer, tell people about Adam Schiff who don't know about Adam Schiff.
Well, look, Adam Schiff barely won his first race into Congress, and he's not even that popular in his own district in Los Angeles, but here he is in his own little Adam Schiff sniveling way, trying to get a new job, even though he just got reelected to the job he already has, right? And look, I don't think this is going to go very well, and here's why. Gavin Newsom, a new poll was out this week, showing that Gavin Newsom has some polling problems of his own. He has fallen about 20 points in his own approval rating just since September, falling to below 40%. And here's the other shocking news. Gavin Newsom has about nearly 40% of Californians who today would vote to recall him, and the recall isn't even officially on the ballot yet. So bad news. Gavin Newsom's got a lot of problems. Adam Schiff as Attorney General is not going to be one he adds to his ledger anytime soon.
Okay. You know what? I want to talk about Newsom for a second because I feel like a lot of people don't understand exactly what's happening in California. They hate Gavin Newsom instinctively, even people who aren't from California, but they don't understand what this recall thing's all about. Can you explain?
Sure. Well, look, the rumblings really started a few months back when, you know, most business owners in California were finding themselves still working from home. Most restaurant owners who've spent their entire lives serving the California communities they live in found themselves not able to open, not able to have indoor dining, not even able to have on a sunny day when it's 80 degrees outside, any capacity on their outdoor patios, which is just ridiculous. And that was all thanks to Gavin Newsom. You add on top of that, Jesse, the completely botched vaccine distribution that's going on in the state of California. It's even worse than what's going on with Bill de Blasio and Governor Cuomo in New York. And that's been largely because Gavin Newsom's public department of health had no plan in place really to distribute this. Remember that all last year during the presidential campaign, all Gavin Newsom said was that vaccines were going to be the magic key to getting California reopened again if we could just get those vaccines. Well, it turns out it's pretty easy to throw rocks during a presidential campaign. It's actually hard to do the work. Governing is hard, and that's something that Gavin Newsom has found out. So all of this is feeding into these polls this week. And by the way, these were not conservative polls. These were polls out of Berkeley, California. You know it's a lonely time when you're a liberal Democrat governor and even your friends in Berkeley aren't with you. This is from UC Berkeley, the public institute there, and also the PPIC, the Public Polling Institute of California, based in Sacramento, also a fairly liberal group, both showing he's just getting slaughtered in his approval ratings.
Jennifer, what does that mean, botch the rollout? What is it? Is it, I mean, people don't know where to get them. They all went to the wrong area. How do you botch a rollout? What did he do?
Well, look, the Department of Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C., as we saw with the Operation Warp Speed, actually had a program that gets those vaccines out, but they have to give them to the states. They can't give them directly to CVS and Walgreens. They have to go through each state's public Department of Health. And apparently there was no plan at the state level, really, no organized plan to get those distributed. So you have people in New York and people in California calling their local CVS saying, where can I get these? And the CVS is saying, you know, we only have X number of supplies. The latest statistic on how many vaccines were still on the shelf in California, it was around 65%. I mean, that is just shameful that we have live vaccines waiting to go out to people. And I'm planning on not getting one. I'm not a big vaccine person, but my parents did. But for people who want them, that is really tragic that 65% of the stockpile of the vaccines are still sitting on shelves, you know, in the public Department of Health or in some warehouse in California.
Jennifer, explain to me which direction the GOP should go going forward. It seems like right now this is more than just the post-election, you know, squabbling between you know, members of the party. It seems like the party is having a real identity crisis right now. What say Jennifer Kearns?
Well, look, I a year ago thought of the name All American for my radio show for a couple of reasons, but I'm focused on solutions that help all Americans. And look, I look at what's going on today with the critiques of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and, you know, Mitch McConnell's fighting with her, and the Kevin McCarthy is clearly doing the Lord's work there. Kevin McCarthy having to run interference on all of this stuff. Look, there's one reason the Democrats are doing this. This is their opening salvo for the 2022 midterms, is to make Republicans look like they're crazy and to get Republicans fighting amongst themselves so that you completely forget about the 50 executive orders that Joe Biden signed in his first 10 days in office, and you completely forget about all of the liberal progressive policy proposals that are getting ready to come out by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And I hate to see Republicans lose. I really do, but I see them playing right into Nancy Pelosi's trap here. Instead of talking about the liberal and progressive polls that are about to destroy America, they're talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Instead, Jesse, we should be talking about the fact that Joe Biden, with his nearly 50 executive orders, is on pace to eclipse FDR in his terrible New Deal packages and all of the things that FDR did, just as Joe Biden is signing now. FDR aimed to end the Great Depression with these big government plans, these social engineering plans. Economists now find, after 40 years of studying those policies and executive orders, that it actually prolonged the pain of the Great Depression, that it actually hurt minorities. And I predict the same thing will happen as Joe Biden claims he's trying to get us out of this post-COVID recession and into a better economy. I think we're going to see the same results that we had with FDR.
Jennifer, why can't Republicans figure out they need to stop letting the left choose the narrative? I mean, you just brought it up. They chase whatever shiny object the system puts up for them to chase instead of talking about exactly what they want to talk about. What is it with this feeling like you have to answer the question asked? I don't understand this, but thinking at all.
Yeah, you're spot on, Jesse. I mean, this is what we call message discipline. You know, I've been a press secretary for over 15 years, and this is the stuff that I just drumbeat into my candidates and clients' heads, is don't take the bait. If the message that's coming out each day is different than the message you're going over in your planning meeting and your press meeting, there's a problem, and you should never engage and discuss those issues with the press or with the Democrats or even in your own party if it's not part of where you want to go. And so I look at the RNC here. I'm going to critique the RNC. Think about this. Ronna McDaniel just got reelected to a post after losing the White House, the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. The tone starts at the top for the party. We haven't heard much from Rana over these last few days. The only person we're really hearing from is the guy doing all the work, shuttling down to do shuttle diplomacy at Mar-a-Lago, shuttling over to help Marjorie Taylor Greene in his own caucus. And that's Kevin McCarthy. But Kevin needs some help there. We need some good, strong message discipline in the Republican Party.
Okay, well, I think a lot of people think of the National Republican Party, and even though they're upset with it, they at least think it's probably a big operation full of smart people. Is that not the case?
Well, no. I mean, I always say, you know, the Peter Principle is alive and well in the RNC building in Washington, D.C. You know, I've been in there several times, and, you know, it's sort of a, well, don't rock the boat, let's just do it this way kind of thing, where, you know, friends of people in power in that building are usually the ones that get the contracts instead of the people who are best for the job. Look, you need to look across the aisle at the Democratic Party. They might not all get along, but they are always on the same page. They are always singing off the same song sheet. And I get envious of that as someone who's been a communicator, especially in blue states and tough states. I know that you can win. The last campaign I lost was over 10 years ago because I hated losing so badly. I said I would never do it again. And I hated having to tell the client and his wife that he lost. And I said I would never do it again. And so there's some good, strong communicators in the party, and we need to be bringing them into the RNC. We need to sort of overhaul the RNC and how they manage their contracts there, because the best people aren't necessarily in that basement in the RNC doing the communications work.
Jennifer Kearns, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Got to start having better people, hiring better people, firing the bad people. Look, let's be honest. That's part of what hurt Trump. Hiring some really bad people and not firing near enough. It is time to clean things out. What is that saying? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. What are we doing? It's time to switch things up. All right, we'll be back. The thing about the Republican Party is it's exactly the same as the Democrat Party, exactly the same as really any entity in the world. Your football team, your business. When you're winning, when things are going well, everybody gets along. Ah, it's all kisses and hugs and champagne, and let's go out to Red Lobster tonight. And when you're losing, it's a bunch of backstabbing and infighting, and that's just the way it goes. And after you take a couple election losses on the chin like the Republican Party has, there's going to be some fighting. Kevin McCarthy, to his credit, appears to be trying to hold it all together. Had this to say, quote, "This Republican Party is a very big tent. Everyone's invited in, and you look at the last election, we continue to grow, and in 2 years, we'll be in the majority." Well, we thought it's probably best to talk to a man who's been in that Republican Party in the House of Representatives, Dean of Business at Liberty University, Dave Bratt. Congressman, what say you about Kevin McCarthy and the big tent and all the squabbling?
Well, that statement is not sufficient in any way, shape, or form. That in 2 years, if you hold a big tent together, unified around what, we don't know yet, and we'll have the majority. Well, we had the majority back when I was in there. We had the House and the Senate and the presidency, and we totally botched it because we don't listen to what the American people want. Instead of repealing Obamacare and socialized health care, we did a Medicare entitlement bill in its place and called it a health care reform. Right now, we've had riots in the streets for a year. Nothing to see there. I haven't heard any message. China's still our number one strategic threat. Nothing to report there. We had a crazy election. Appears we're not going to investigate or give the base any closure on that front. And so I'd love to know what he thinks we're aiming at, right? I mean, just to have a majority again, we didn't get a health care reform. We did tax cuts, and that's it. And then we set President Trump up for failure by not following his lead on a number of initiatives he had, which were very popular with the American people. So just to have a majority for majority's sake, been there, done that. And I I was on a high for the first couple of years when I thought we were going to get things done. And then the Republican group, right, they just can never put an action plan together that represents the will of the American people and put it on paper.
Why?
That's what you got to do.
Why can't they ever get it done? Because I know somebody like you. I know you. I know you're in there pushing for the things people want. So I know that Lord willing, you were not the only one. The country wanted it. The base certainly wanted it. You wanted it. What's the wall you're running up against? Is it cowardice? Is it stupidity? What is it?
Yeah, well, they got to give them a little due. It is hard to get a majority, and there's huge variation. So it's hard to unify around a platform, right? Like immigration, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that hard to message on this versus Biden's proposal, right? And then the COVID stuff and the shutdowns and the schools, the way the Democrats just are blowing up the deficit like crazy. It doesn't seem to me like these are high hurdles to message on. And yet there's nothing. There's no messaging. And so I the Senate's the same way. What are they doing? And so, yeah, no, it's always money. There's special interests. Immigration cuts to the heart of low wages for the big firm. And the big firms always win time after time after time, right? And so you just go down the issues where the American people want to see some action. Deficit reduction, it's easier to give away candy than eat spinach, right? And ask for some discipline. Education is a disaster in the country, but we're not taking the fight to any of these issues right now. We're just, I don't know really what they're messaging on. If you ask yourself, what is the Republican caucus message right now? It's just, let's just win in 2 years. Okay, that's it.
No, it's true. And like you pointed out, we had the House, Senate, and presidency, and we got tax cuts. And I mean, tax cuts are great. I'm all for tax cuts. But people were clamoring for things for a year. I'll never forget. They passed, what, 7 Obamacare repeals under Obama when they knew he'd veto them. And the second we get everything back, we didn't get an Obamacare repeal. It just, these type of things have me worried we're going to see a third party. And as mad as I get at the GOP, I don't want that because it means Democrats are going to get elected forever. But I don't think they realize the level of anger at this ineptitude out there.
Yeah. Well, and the two we just went over, right? Healthcare, the biggies wanted it because it puts more costs on the federal government and the taxpayers and minimizes the cost for the big firms and the establishment firms, right? Which we gave away by going along with Obamacare, right? We lost healthcare sector, which makes it very hard as a Republican to get elected when you've already lost higher ed and the deep state and all the agencies, et cetera. And then you lose health care. And then secondly, the tax cuts, again, the establishment big firms said yes to that. And so that's why it happened. But anything that opposes the will of the big swamp firms and big data and et cetera, all the way down the pike, anything that benefits the small guy, you'll never see legislation there, right? And it's just amazing. H.R. 1, by the way, make sure you pay attention to that bill when you report, right? They're federalizing all state election law is in the Constitution, powers given to the state. H.R. 1, the first bill out of the chute from the Democrats, federalizes all of it, allows mail-in ballots, no chain of custody, everything that went wrong here in the last one, they're codifying it in law. And where's our guys? What they're not saying a word, because if you mention anything about those fraudulent pieces, you do get silenced. I mean, I was there. I felt the pain. It's pain. But it's do your job, folks. This is our country on the line right now in a big way.
Do you see, I've been telling people this, but I don't want to speak out of turn. I've been telling people that Joe Biden's 4 years or 4 months or whatever it's going to be before we have Kamala in there, it's going to be worse than Obama's 8. Not necessarily because he's worse, just because the left is so much more desperate and aggressive and, frankly, in a better position of power than they were under Obama.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. They've turned toward the just straight up Marxist seize power thesis. Everything they're doing from HR 1 is not about enhancing your welfare at home, right? About making your life better. It's about enhancing their power. Just go bill after bill after bill, and you'll see they are maximizing their power, and they're threatening and daring you to challenge them. And if you do, you will pay the price now. That's how they're fighting. And then we got the Cub Scouts on our side, right? You know, okay, we're going to follow the rule of law, and we're going to do tax cuts. And...
okay.
But, yeah.
HR 1. That's not...
They're taking real estate.
It's not going to pass, though, right? I mean, that is such a radical thing. You don't think this actually has a chance to pass. They don't have majorities like that in the House.
Yeah, in the House, it will pass. And then, thank goodness, I am amazed. In the Senate, the vote threshold, thanks to Manchin in West Virginia, is still 60. Right. And so the Senate rules and tradition, they're supposed to be the deliberative body. And so to get to cloture, they need 60. And Manchin believes in that and thinks he ought to debate things and has some bipartisan work. So he's the most powerful guy in D.C. right now. And he's a good man. That guy is I knew him a bit up there. What a good guy.
Education. You brought up education, and I see parents all over the country because of this coronavirus insanity,
yeah,
yanking their kids out of school, doing homeschooling, doing private schools. I say this is a big win for coronavirus.
Yeah, no, it's stunning, and what it's being used for. You'll think I'm making this up, but Virginia DOE. News article yesterday, Department of Education, Virginia, same thing on high. If you differ with the new trans policy coming out of the Democrats, they're threatening to take your kid out of your home, not out of your school. And I can shoot you the link. Right. And so, right, that'll clear your sinuses.
Oh, man, we are in trouble
That's
out here.
Education.
Dave Brad, thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Jesse. You got it.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate you.
Anytime.
Scary times, folks. Scary times. All right. We'll be back. We talk a lot about the system, right? Being way too in it. How many people are way too in it? Look, you and I are in it. You can't help it. It's all around us. It's all the same message. Everybody's sending the same message out everywhere you turn, and it's tough to resist that. But it really is. It really is shocking what lemmings some people are. Just thoughtless lemmings. I saw this reaction from Shepard Smith to some people just choosing not to wear a mask, out enjoying themselves, and man, did this not say it all.
You know, we all fantasize about a time when we won't have to wear the masks anymore. It's not now. But some at a supermarket in Florida appear to have decided that the time is now. Look at this. This was the scene at Oaks Farm Seed and to Table Market in Naples today. NBC's Sam Brock took this video, which went viral. It looks like it was taken pre-pandemic, right? Most customers and employees not wearing masks at all. The store's policy includes mask exemption guidelines. The sign says if you have a medical condition that you don't have to wear a mask, and nobody inside will ask about medical conditions, so masks are not enforced. The owner told Sam Brock this when questioned about the policy.
Is your position then about medical exemptions, or is it about the fact that you don't think masks work and that the virus is not a real thing?
I know that the masks don't work, and I know that the virus has not killed 400,000 people in this country. That's total hogwash.
Florida does not have a mask mandate, but masks do work. The science is crystal clear. In July, the CDC director said the United States could get COVID under control in 4 to 8 weeks if we would only all wear masks.
The science is crystal clear. Masks work. Did you hear that owner of that store? He had an independent thought. He disagreed with what the system said? My, what? Burn the witch! It's crazy what has happened in this country. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is an iHeart podcast.